Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This Sunday always reminds me of the show Godspell, when they sing Prepare the Way of the Lord. And it was an amazing show, actually. The reading that we've just heard from Mark's Gospel is not like Matthew and Luke, who begin with the birth stories. Mark begins with these words, the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. A voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. The name of that voice is John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin. I always wonder whether John the Baptist knew who he was preparing the way for. I'll get you to think about that. Last week, I heard that Mike spoke about waiting and how long. And in the last week's Old Testament reading, we heard from Isaiah that said, O Lord, that you would open the heavens and come down to save us. I think that even as we look at what is happening in our world today, we might even make that cry ourselves. That was what they were waiting for. They were waiting for God to show up. Their world was a mess. Politically, religiously, economically. And they were living under the harsh rod of the Roman Empire. It felt like a wilderness, waiting for the Messiah to come. Finally, it begins with some strange person clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, who ate locusts and honey. You might say to yourselves, well, what kind of preparation is that? Often wondered what he appeared in the wilderness meant. Were there a lot of people living in the wilderness? It says word must have got around about this guy called John the Baptist, as the whole Judean countryside, it says, and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him. Why might that have been? Were they responding to a proclamation that asked people to repent of their sins? Really? I wonder how many people would come if I started out in the street asking people to repent of their sins. And you would probably say to me, well, those days are gone, thank goodness, where you could walk along the street and see somebody standing on a milk crate inviting people to repent. Those days are gone. And who wants to talk about sin anyway? You know, my friend Cynthia and my friend Helen, who just died. Well, Helen was Helen and Cynthia, but I called Cynthia Sin and called Helen Hell. We were having coffee one morning and we were there for a couple of hours and this man came over who was sitting in the corner and he said, I'm sorry, I wasn't eavesdropping, but you've been talking about sin and hell for a long time. We don't want to talk about sin, do we? We can look at our world and our community in which we live and see plenty of it. So do we need a John the Baptist? Do we need somebody who's game enough to go out and invite people to repent? I I just shared with you that in John's time, things were a mess. What about now? John was preparing the way, it says, making a way straight. I wonder what that means. You know, have you noticed, if John is talking about a straight road, have you noticed how many potholes there are in the road? There are hundreds of them. And they're quite dangerous, actually, some of them. Have you noticed that if you use your GPS in your car, it sometimes takes you in a very roundabout way? So what does all this mean? I wonder how many of us are feeling that we are in the wilderness at the moment. And how many potholes are there in the road that you are travelling upon at the moment? And what potholes might you find in the church today? And what does all this mean for the second Sunday of Advent? John is asking us to get ready. Prepare the way. Prepare the way for what, though? If you go to the shopping centre, you can see people preparing. The shops are busy again. People have got their trees up. Even I've got the tree up. People are preparing for what they're doing on Christmas Day. Ours will be very different. We're not having a Giles gathering and we're not having my side of the family gathering this year. Everybody's doing their own thing. Things are already starting to get busy. Barbara Brown Taylor, some of you might have already heard about her. She's a writer and a theologian. And she tells this story of a woman who got so tired of preparing for Christmas each year that she added a large cupboard with a door in her den. It was especially built. Inside, she set up a fully decorated artificial Christmas tree, and when the season arrives, she just opens the door. And when the season's over, she closes the door. Until the following year. And along comes John announcing that God is going to turn things upside down. He is baptizing with water, but the person who comes after him is going to baptize people with the Holy Spirit. The reason so many people came out to be baptized was because they were looking for something more in their lives. They were in a mess. Perhaps they were looking for truth. They were looking for peace. They were looking for hope. John gives us an invitation to turn around 180 degrees. That's what the word repentance means. To turn ourselves around towards God. Look for that straight road. You see, the road for us has already been prepared. The coming we are all waiting for has already arrived. We don't have to wait till Christmas Day. This is such good news. What does it mean for us to be waiting for somebody who's already here? I'll say that again. What does it mean for us to be waiting for somebody who's already here? Maybe it's not about our waiting. Maybe it's about God's waiting. Waiting for us to focus. Waiting for us to hear. Waiting for us to see how we might see Christ's face in somebody else. Last week at Hampton Park, I shared a story. I'd like to share it with you as well. It's about a minister in Melbourne who had an agnostic friend. They used to spend time here. The minister had a lot of admiration for him, and they met for a coffee, and this is how it goes. He told me of his depressive son, who descended into the pits of hopelessness, living at times on the streets of Melbourne. But it seems that now this young man was so low that at a critical moment one day, hungry and homeless and in total despair, he was standing on the platform at Flinders Street Station, preparing to throw himself in front of the train. He thought that no one would notice or guess his intention, until a little old lady, using his words, approached him and gently said to him, "I would not do this, please. Please, here, son, take this money and get yourself some lodging and food." And she walked off and left him gaping. That was the moment that he turned his life around. The grateful father, the agnostic, remember, said to me, "That is how Christ comes to us again and again today." That little old lady was Christ to my son. So what does it mean for us to be ready? Ready, if we had been there on that station that day, would we have even noticed this young man? Or if we had, would we have been sensitive enough to read his intentions and dare to intervene so graciously? How lucky are we? Because we already know the story. We already know that at Christmas time God loved us so much and revealed himself in this person called Jesus Christ, who comes again and comes again and comes again. The next question might be, in all our preparations, would we recognize Christ if he came anyway? Would we recognize him? You know, when I was thinking about that this morning, I thought about this wonderful, wonderful song. And I'll finish with it. "O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see? There's light for a look at the Saviour, and life more abundant and free. So turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting, he passed, and we follow him there. O'er us sin no more has dominion, for more than conquerors we are. So turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. His word shall not fail you. He promised. Believe him and all will be well. Then go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen.